David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today, I'm very excited because we have Dr. Olga Zilberstein on the show. She is amazing. She is one of our podcast community experts. She also has a podcast on our channel. She is just phenomenal, and today she wants to talk about complications. She wants to talk about the different myths and truths and the things that go on when you do different procedures and how you can make yourself look young and beautiful and the different things that go along with it. So, Dr. Olga, it's a pleasure having you on the show today. I am so excited to hear what you have to say. We've gone over a lot of different topics. You know, you've done a couple of shows now with us, and we've gone over all different types of, you know, topics having to do with beauty, staying young, health and wellness. And you always have such great information. So I'm really excited to have you on the show. You know, tell everybody a little about yourself and, you know, talk a little about what we're going to talk about today. You know, tell everybody what it's about.
Thank you so much for your kind introduction. My name is Dr. Olga Zilberstein. I'm an aesthetic physician. I'm practicing aesthetic medicine for the last 17 years. I'm practicing medicine for the last 24 years. I don't disclose how young I am. So it's been a fun journey. I could say I stand at the beginning of development of aesthetic medicine. We know so much more right now. We know how to use products better, what the complications can be, and how to avoid them. So when anybody contemplating to do aesthetic procedures, of course, this is number one question. Would it be safe? Would it be okay for me to do it? And number one, I would like to say that everything what we use is FDA approved. So all the materials, all the substances we are planning to inject, it's all went through the rigorous investigation and vetting by FDA. And right now it's been used for many years. Botox, I would say like 35, probably close to 40 years, because I remember when I just started 17 years ago, I can't believe it. I was telling everybody, well, Botox we use already for 20 years and it's very safe. It's a very safe product. So let's start with number one, injectable and botulinum toxin. It has satisfaction rate of 98%. So it's actually the highest satisfaction rate from all the aesthetic procedures. It's very simple, quick injection. It takes 5 minutes to inject. We use very thin insulin needles in existing. It's like 31 gauge needles. It's almost, you almost can't feel them. Again, the pain threshold is different for different people. Mm-hmm. I found the older we are, the more painful it is, the threshold kind of raises. I think it has to do with our hormones. We women have babies, and I don't know, we design this way. Like young girls come in and they do injections, like lip injection, anything, and like, oh, I don't even feel it. And the older we are, we feel it more with decline of hormones. It also depends which, our cycle, it depends on our period. So the lower estrogen amount, it fluctuates through our cycle. So the lower the estrogen we have in our cycle, it's when you actually have your period, the more painful injections are. So it's not recommended to do it during the period because it's just more painful. No other contraindication. But then if you think about it, you go, you grow older, and that's what your life is. But you feel the pain more. But we do have different devices and methods to alleviate the pain, of course. We have numbing creams. I do blocks. If it's really painful injection, like we have dental blocks we can use for alleviating the pain. We have different mechanical devices. So like a little shaking devices to help with the pain. So it's kind of distracts your brain. Like it's like a needle here, something shaking here. The brain doesn't know what to react to, and it's not so painful somehow. I also even have nitric oxide in my office, which is really helpful for especially painful procedures like out of microneedling. I would say it's like on more painful side. And again, everybody have different threshold. We can use it for sim. I don't advise to use it, of course, for Botox. But if you're more sensitive to injection, or you have like anxiety or needle phobia, then we do use it for other different procedures. Nitric oxide, and it's very simple. It's like out of your system, you have a little dissociation, and it like decreases your anxiety, it decreases your pain, and it's out of your system in 3 minutes. You're not inhaling and you're fine, you can drive after, it's really not a problem. So pain, we discussed pain, right? Yes. And we started with Botox. So with Botox, like I said, it's very safe medicine. It's used now in medicine as well as aesthetics a lot. It's used for different procedures, different problems rather, like migraine. I use it for TMJ pain, and it's amazing. It's approved now by a lot of insurances for migraine headache. It also helps for tension headache, and for other different types of headache. It's not approved by insurance yet, but I have a few people coming to me with not migraine headache, debilitating headaches, and it helps. It does help them by relaxing the musculature in the area. It helps a lot. So in TMJ, oh my God, TMJ, it's not approved by insurances. It's not paid by insurances, but it's amazing. It's life-changing for people. That's what I do. But in medicine, it's used in urology. It's used like for cerebral, even for in pediatrics, for cerebral palsy patients, when increased tone of the muscles. So it's very, very safe medication. In aesthetics, what kind of complications everybody worry about? The complications are related mostly to the injector, how skilled your injector is. Let's say we relax in muscles, right? And there is a lot of different rules out there. Let's say the forehead muscle is the only muscle which lifts our eyebrows. So if you over relax the forehead muscle, you can drop the eyebrows. Also, people who have like a little lower, the whole complex goes down, older people, you know, the gravity, everything brings down. So
yeah,
for some people more than others, and you have like familial, let's say extra skin on your upper eyelids, you have to really take so many things into consideration. So if you see things like that, you cannot over inject the forehead, or you have very small forehead.
Yeah.
Also, you cannot, you don't have any space to inject there, or very small space to inject. So it's like a lot of things, a lot of little moments you have to look at and make sure you don't drop the eyebrows. Nobody likes that. So other complications related to injection, I don't want to go so much into depth, but it's mostly really, it's a skill of your injector. So when we inject in lower face is a muscle which brings corners of the mouth down. And when we inject this muscle, we can bring corners up or stop this, what we call resting bitch syndrome.
Yeah.
When we, like, some people frown right here in their glabella, and some people frown with their mouth down. So we can stop that. But you have to be very careful. You have to look at the other muscle right there. It's the muscle which brings corner of the lip down. So if you hit this muscle, you're going to have, like, crooked smile. That happens. That happens. You have to be careful. You have to understand the anatomy. And most of these complications with Botox, they really is just injector dependent. It's how skillful your injector is. The other complication happens even with Botox, is bruising. People come in and they say, oh, just don't bruise me. Oh, I don't want to bruise. And I can say, well, of course, I don't want to bruise you.
Yeah.
Whenever needle goes into skin, we have blood vessel everywhere. Every millimeter of our skin has a blood vessel. And bruising is possible. Always possible, and it depends on mostly the patient, because
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Some people are more prone to bruise than others. It also depends on age, believe it or not. The older we are, the fragility of the blood vessels increases. We lose collagen and the blood vessel become more fragile. So the older we are, the more prone to bruising we are.
Yeah.
There is certain things we can do to prevent bruising. First of all, not taking any NSAIDs, it's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, ibuprofen, naproxen, aspirin. We always instruct our patients not to do that. Believe it or not, a lot of supplements, a lot of even food what you eat makes you more prone to bruise. Things like green tea, ginkgo biloba, vitamin E makes you bruise. Even fish oil, or if you eat a lot of salmon, let's say, it's a lot of fish oil there, so you're going to be prone to bruise. Red wine is the one. Also, we don't recommend to drink red wine before the injectables. It predisposes you to bruise. And certain things you can do to prevent bruising. Aplica, we recommend to take. It comes in pill form. Also, bromelain. And I just tell people, eat pineapple. Pineapple has a lot of bromelain. And it's very good to prevent bruising. That's what I use. I like natural. I don't like pills.
Right.
Eat pineapple and try to avoid all those substances which can cause bruising, predisposes you to bruising. In the office, we use ice. Simple icing constricts the blood vessels. So it also prevents bruising right before the needle goes in.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing anatomy, but anatomy is a tricky thing. So we all have aberrations. It's nothing like we know approximately where your arteries and veins are, but we can't see through the skin. And sometimes we can, but most of the time we can't. So, there's a lot of aberrations. It's not like in a book. It's not written in the stone, like where
right.
you're exactly your blood vessels are. So you still can bruise, but guess what? Bruise goes away. You can cover it up. It's not a big deal. So Next complication is swelling. So swelling doesn't happen after Botox, but let's say after fillers, you can swell up. There's different products prone to more swelling than others, but it's also not a big deal. That's why we kind of always advise to do any procedures at least 2 weeks before important events. If you have an important event, first of all, Botox won't work anyway. It's better to do 2 weeks before the important event. And fillers, yes, the same thing. You can bruise, you can swell up. It's better to give at least 2 weeks before something important going on socially. So that's number two, the swelling. So serious side effects do happen with fillers, let's say. And a lot of people who are interested to get aesthetic procedures, injections, they probably know about it. So let me talk about intravascular injection. So it's mostly happens, now we know, happens with hyaluronic acid fillers. So when hyaluronic acid filler injected into the artery, there is a danger of vascular occlusion. So the artery brings the blood to the skin and veins takes the blood back. So when something like this happens, when we inject into the artery and the one artery, like let's say, brings blood to certain area of the skin, and if we completely occlude this artery, that's a complication. That's a worrisome complication, and that can cause if it's not recognized, can cause serious complication, even the death of the skin. But that's why we will learn, and now we know about this complication. Believe it or not, I am a veteran, right? So 17 years ago, when I started injections, we didn't know about this. We didn't know. It was just the beginning of everything.
Yeah. David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And now we know so much, and we know how to recognize it. We know how to treat it, and we know how to prevent it. So there is different. So number one, certain areas, but again, anatomically, there's certain areas on our face which are a danger zone. So those areas are more prone, and statistically shown that they are more prone to sustain this vascular occlusion. That's number one is nose, number two is glabella, number three is nasolabial folds, forehead, chin. So that's the danger zones. Does it mean we're not supposed to inject it? No. My actually background, I worked 15 years in emergency room. So I'm an emergency room physician, and we're not supposed to be scared of emergencies. We're supposed to be prepared to emergency.
Right.
And vascular occlusion is an emergency in aesthetic medicine. So you have to understand, recognize the emergency, and just be equipped and know how to treat it.
Right.
And we say, if you never had this emergency, then you don't inject enough. because that happens. And it happened to me because I inject a lot. I do thousands and thousands of injections a year. Yeah, so I totally had this kind of emergencies, and I treated it, and it's with right recognition with recognition on time. It's a completely treatable condition, and it's what can I say? It's completely fine. All those people, I had a few, and all those people are completely fine. So what you see, like a certain, first of all, the way you inject it, I don't want to, again, go into details. You don't need it. It's not like aesthetic physicians who I sometimes give lectures and I explain them how to recognize vascular occlusion, but certain signs, a certain way you inject to avoid it, we need to follow and we will be fine. I do tons of non-surgical nose job. I would say it's my specialty. Non-surgical nose job, I do using fillers. I use threads, and that's, I love doing that. And it's like the most dangerous zone. And a lot of people don't even inject noses. But like I said, I have a background emergency physician. I'm injecting for 17 years and I know exactly what to do. So it's really not a problem. And what I wanted to say, also we have, also we have certain ways to prevent it. It's like using cannula. In certain areas, we use cannula, and cannula is looks like a needle, but it's dull. So we make a hole in the skin and we go in with this dull instrument. And the beauty of it, that needle pierces the blood vessel, it goes through the blood vessel. So it's high chance to bruise and high chance to cannulate, go inside the blood vessel and occlude the blood vessel. But cannula is dull, so cannula cannot go into the blood vessel. It cannot penetrate the blood vessel, and that's why it's much less chance to bruise and much chance to create vascular occlusion. So certain areas we use cannulas, and that's also a way to prevent vascular occlusion. So I think that would be the most dangerous. Something right. People, if people go and they, some people come and they do huge research and they read about, and this is like the most dangerous complication which can occur with fillers injection, with cosmetic procedures, because it is an true emergency. So what are the complications? So the other, I would say complication is an overfilling syndrome. So, and this is a very well recognized in aesthetic medicine. The pillow face, we call it, or duck lips, or we know what we're talking about, a witch chin. We have all the terms already for that. Or overfill syndrome. And that also related to your injector. Honestly, you don't have to do it. You don't have to inject, if you, especially when you see already, usually that's people come in and they ask for more filler, and it's an obligation of aesthetic physician, to tell people that I don't think it's, it's going to be aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea to do it for you. And there's also a term right now. It's called perception drift. It's a whole scientific study right now done about perception drift. So what happens is, I think we kind of recognizing it more and more right now, but especially a few years ago, the whole Instagram, social media was filled of overfilled faces, overblown lips, those Russian lips. I really don't like the way they look. I think they look artificial most of the time. And when people look, young generation, look at all those images, they think it's normal. And it was a study done when, let's say, they show a person who's like completely far from aesthetics, they show images of overblown lips, like I don't know, 10, 100 images of the same overblown lips. First they say, oh my God, this looks so bad, unnatural, that looks bad. And then when they keep looking at it, on the image of 100, they start thinking, oh, maybe it's okay, maybe it's normal. So that's the drift of perception. So you start thinking that's normal. That's a new normal.
Right.
Pretty much. That's the new normal. So there is a phenomenon like that. And I would say to people out there, look at your injector. It's not just patients, it's us injectors. First of all, that's who creates those unnatural results.
Yeah.
And the injectors themselves, they're prone to it. So if you go and see a doctor with overblown whatever part of their face is and look unnatural, run away. This person has perception drift. If they don't see themselves that they look unnatural, how they can create natural and beautiful results for other people?
Yes.
So that's another problem. I think it's recognized more and more right now. And there is a, like I said, we kind of went through it. I think it's on decline right now. Yeah. I have more and more people who come in and they want just natural results. They don't want any overblown, whatever part of their body.
Yeah.
I always hated it. Honestly speaking, I didn't get that. I just hate overblown on natural results. It's really not me. So, and like I said, we have people coming in and asking for, please, I just want natural. And I think, thankfully, we're kind of moving away from this fad, from this trend of overblown parts of the body. It's also celebrities, like a lot of things attributed to Kardashians with their overblown lips and butts. And at some point, I think they remove their butts. So now their behind looks more natural. And we see less and less people asking for this procedure, for like Brazilian butt lift and bigger behind, which is good. I think we moving into the right direction, because some of those results, actually I call it dissolving clinic. So I have a lot of people coming in, and sometimes they ask for more, and I tell them no, we need to dissolve. Because we do have something to dissolve, the filler, hyaluronic acid filler.
Right.
And that's what we use actually for vascular occlusion. I it's a good thing to mention that that's important for each and every injection. Maybe when you come to see a doctor for injections, ask if they have hyaluronidase or dissolver, because you cannot inject without it. But like I said, vascular occlusion can happen. We have aberrant anatomy, we have blood vessels everywhere, and anytime hyaluronic acid filler can be injected into the blood vessels, and before the injection, your injector has to have hyaluronidase, just in case. It's like it's a defibrillator. It's a defibrillator in aesthetic medicine. You have to have it before you do the procedure. That's why I am very, very skeptical to all those Botox parties where they inject at houses, they inject Botox, they inject fillers, and I don't know if they have hyaluronidase, if they have all rescue medications for vascular occlusion, if people get injected in their houses. I don't think it's safe.
No.
So that's regarding regarding the perception drift. What else I wanted to discuss, it's a very interesting topic and we don't talk about it a lot, but it's a lot of studies right now that in our population of aesthetic patients, patients who seeking any aesthetic improvement or plastic surgery, there is around 15% of people who have body dysmorphic disorder. And we don't discuss that. And I totally see it. I totally see it in my patient population. Time to time, I have a patient who is never happy with their appearance. Not even like their cosmetic procedures, but with their appearance. There is nothing wrong with their nose. There's nothing wrong with their whatever eyes, but they're always unhappy. And that's totally a sign that they have body dysmorphic disorder. And it's very hard to deal with those patients. I prefer not to do anything because now we know that they're never going to be happy.
Right.
And my practice is very happy. I thrive on happiness. It's a happy medical practice. So when we do procedures, people happy, people feel more confident, people enjoying how they look after, and I don't need any unhappy patients, you know? That's why if I sense that this person has body dysmorphic disorder, it's not even about me, it's about them. It's shown now that those people, it's a mental disorder and they are suffering. They're suffering. They don't like something. They think about their noses 24/7 and it's a very debilitating disorder. Can be, it's again, it's different degree of everything. And it is shown, scientifically proven, that doing any kind of aesthetic procedures for them gonna make them worse. So that's number one reason why I try to recognize them and I try not to touch them. Just explain them. I don't think I can do anything for you. I don't think it's gonna be beneficial for you, whatever it is, but I run away from those people. And they need the referral to psychiatry. That's what they need. But in our age and time, it can sound offensive. The person came to you to get the state of treatment and you refer them to psychiatrists. That's medically the right thing to do, but we're not there yet. Unfortunately, I would love to, but it can be recognized as insult, unfortunately. But that's the right thing, what needs to be done for the patient. Referral to psychiatrist sometimes. And it's not very much discussed, this topic, but I did have, like I said, I practiced long enough. I practiced for 17 years and I've seen the worst of it. Yeah. I've seen the worst of body dysmorphic disorder. And
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Patients suffering, and I you know, sometimes you don't see it right away. Like they came first time, you do simple procedure, and then, oh my God, I had a patient who drove me insane. She was insane. She was suffering. And she drove me insane. She wrote me letters every day how suffering she is. And what do you have? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. But it felt like that she had something, whatever.
Yeah.
So now I'm scared. Honestly, because honestly, I was traumatized too. She was, I know, I understand that she was suffering, but she like reflected it on me with all her letters, how much suffering she is. And she was accusing me also. And now I even read, I listened to the whole presentation, and I did presentation at the conference about body dysmorphic disorder and this case. And I listened to a few lectures, and doctors received death threats after cosmetic procedures. I
Wow.
didn't know that, but like I said, it's a psychiatric disorder. It's a serious problem, and we need to recognize that, and we need to really try to help those people. But like I said, it's just, it's this topic is so tacky, like how you can tell even the patient, no, you don't need the nose job. You need a psychiatrist.
Right.
It's not easy. It's not easy. So that's in terms of complications. What other complications? Allergic reactions possible. I've seen allergic reaction. You can have allergy to basically anything.
Yeah.
I've seen allergic reactions to full range of fillers. I see an allergic reaction to botulinum. It's very, very rare. There is a higher chance to get allergic reaction to certain brands. Let's say Dysport gives a little bit higher rate of allergic reaction than other brands of Botox right now. Like I've never seen allergic reaction to Xeomin because it's a pure tox. It doesn't have any other protein. I didn't never see an allergic reaction to Juvo, but I've seen to allergic reaction to Dysport. But again, never say never with allergy. Never say never in medicine in general. Allergic reaction can happen to anything pretty much, and I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot, but it's still very, very rare.
Yeah.
Still very, very rare. Another problem, actually, it's very interesting. After COVID or during COVID, I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a combination of, it's a reaction between the vaccine or COVID virus itself and hyaluronic acid fillers. Yeah, that's the some kind of autoimmune process. The hyaluronic acid tend to swell up, not for everybody, for some people. So this is another recognized complication, and I had a few people like that who had swelling of hyaluronic acid after COVID vaccine or COVID virus, the disease itself. So that also happened. What else? What other complications? I think I went through most of it, really. Like I said, everything is FDA approved. Everything is studied. And that's the most. What else I can discuss? Complications related to not the right care after. So we can be the best doctors, injectors, but if you don't care about and don't follow instructions, post-procedure instructions, you can run into complications. Let's say with botulinum, Botox, you need to stay upright for like 4 hours after the injection because we want the toxin, the medicine, stay in the muscle we injected to.
Right.
And we instruct everybody to stay upright, don't exercise, don't run, don't stand on your head because the toxin can go to the area which it's not supposed to go. And then you can run into complications such as like eyelid, eyebrow drop, and other complications. Or with fillers, let's say we advise not to go to sauna because you swell up more. Obviously, hot temperature makes the filler swell up. or don't exercise, don't run. Feel it, it's very malleable. You can actually move it a little bit. So anything, massaging the face, facials, after filler is not recommended for actually a few weeks. Exercise is not great right after the procedure because it's a fresh injections. It's they do close pretty soon, but still we don't recommend to exercise, to jump, to sweat. We want everything to heal and be clean. People do strange things. Like I had a patient who had a lot of injections done, like for Sculptra, let's say, we inject all over your face. She went home and she went to do gardening. And all the dirt, all everything like went into her face. It's just, I mean, common sense. Just keep your skin clean. Don't touch it. Even your hands, it has a lot of bacteria on it. Don't touch the injected sites. That's because you can have infection, another complication. Another complication is infection. And of course, we clean everything throughout before the injections, but it's also your patient's responsibility to keep everything clean. Don't touch the injected site. Don't go gardening. Swimming in the ocean. It's a lot of bacteria there. So things like that. It's really common sense. Other complications, I would say, maybe related to the procedures like radiofrequency microneedling we do as well, or laser procedures. So lasers, it's sun sensitive procedures. So it's good not to go sunbathing before or after. It's good not to go sunbathing at all. We discussed it before, but especially after laser procedures, after chemical peels, because your skin is actually denuded from your superficial layer, epidermis, which is protective from the sun. So you're more sensitive to the sun, especially after chemical peels. It's an absolute no-no. RF microneedling, the same. Your skin is more sensitive to the sun. You cannot go on the sun after the procedures. A lot of people asking me, should we postpone it? Should we not do it during the summer? And I would say, it's up to you. It's like, for me, I do everything in summer because summer is a little bit slower time and a lot of people going on vacation, going away. And I have time in my office. So I'm like, okay, I have this. Somebody canceled. Okay, this is my time. I'm doing the procedure now. And I don't care because I know how to protect myself from the sun. So I still do it. And winter usually... It's actually spring, autumn, and winter is usually busy, and I don't have time for myself. I don't have time to do the procedures. So sometimes that's when I do it because I have some time in my schedule. Sometimes opens up and I can do the procedures during the summer, and I still enjoy, but I still enjoy the summer. I love this going on the beach. But I always protect it. I'm always going off hours when the sun is not so strong, before 10 a.m. after like 3-4 p.m. I always wear head sunscreen. I always sit in the shadow. I protect myself, but it's still possible. That's what I'm trying to say. You can do it summertime and you can be fine. It's not a big deal. I always tell people, so what people in Florida do? It's always sunny in Florida. What should you do? Not do any procedures?
Yeah.
No, you just have to be smart about it. So what else we need to discuss today? What are the complications? This is very interesting complication of radiofrequency microneedling. it's a big buzz about it. It's radio frequency energy actually penetrates the skin, because we have a needle and it goes in, and it can dissolve the fat. And especially a lot of conversation going on around Morpheus. I don't have Morpheus, I have Stimuli device. It doesn't matter. It's a very similar technology, but that's why I always say you have to have a smart provider. You have to have a smart person who does it for you.
Right.
We always assess the skin depth, how deep we can go. Certain areas, let's say here, it's beneficial to dissolve some fat. But
yeah.
Certain areas, like say your cheeks, we don't want to dissolve the fat. So we go just most superficial. We go carefully, and it's a parameters you choose on the machine, what to use. We also have to take into consideration if you have darker skin, if you have lighter skin, that's how we change the parameters. And understanding physics, understanding the skin helps us to give you an effective and safe treatment. So, but yes, there's a complication like this known that it can dissolve if you go too deep in an area of where you still need the fat. You can dissolve the fat, and it's gonna look worse than before. So that's the complication of RF microneedling. We have a very good device. It's called Tixel. It's an excellent machine. It's actually have 10 out of 10 reviews from dermatologists across the board. It's the machine which I love, because it doesn't have radio frequency, it doesn't have a laser, it's just thermodynamic interaction with skin. It's very, very safe. It's the same. It's a skin resurfacing. We resurface the skin, the superficial layer. So it's great because it reduces pigmentation and reduces lines and wrinkles. It tightens the skin. In terms of complications from Tixel, the same thing. You have to be careful with sun. You have to be careful, because we resurface, we work on the superficial layer, your protective layer of the skin, epidermis. But again, I just did it because I had a gap in my schedule, and I'm fine. And I went to the, I never skip my beach. If it's a nice weather, I have to go to the beach, and it's fine. It can be done, just need to do it smart. But Tixel has very, very low, I would say, range of complications. Because again, it's just the heat, just the high temperature which we resurface the skin with. And it's not as painful also. It's a great machine. Absolutely. I love our Tixel. What else in terms of complications? Now I can't even think about anything else. If I think about something else, I'll let you know. Yeah, but it's people also, some people are scared of needles, you know. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's a needle phobia. Yeah. And I have people who like faint.
Yeah.
Simple Botox. But again, it's an easy thing to take care of. It's really, it's psychological. You'd be afraid of needles. These people would do blood tests once in 10 years, but they come for Botox because it's very important for them. We know how to handle it. Don't worry. It's very easy to handle. It's really, it's like blood rush from your, it's psychological, and blood rushes out of your head. So you bring your legs up, and anybody comes in and they tell us that that's what they have, we, it's, yeah, the way to inject it with legs up, head a little down, and it's really drink a lot of water, slow injection, the reflection of.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
We always have a nice conversation during this, so they kind of not thinking about it, and
yeah,
they're fine. So that's most of the complications I think we went through. You know what else I didn't talk? I do thread lift. Mm-hmm. I do thread lift. With thread lift is a little bit more invasive, I would say, procedure. I do local anesthesia, meaning I inject the way thread inserted in the skin to lift.
Yeah.
I inject lidocaine, so you don't feel it. Pain you obviously was number one concern for a lot of people. But with local anesthesia, it's actually very easy to tolerate. I mean, you feel the injection of lidocaine. Initial anesthesia process is a little painful, but then you don't feel anything after.
Right.
With thread lift, you can have a little bit pain after, because we insert the threads in, they have little barbs, and it's kind of pulls your skin up. So mm-hmm. you, after anesthesia wears off, you feel very tight. You can feel a little pain. You can feel pain on movement, because when we pull your tissue up, when you move, when you try to move your face, you mm-hmm. feel it, you feel them. A few things you need to follow. It's like you cannot, or it's better not to sleep on your face right after. First of all, it can be a little sensitive, a little painful to sleep on your face after. Mm-hmm. It is recommended not to sleep on your face after fillers as well. I kind of sleep on my face. It's hard. I always say it's much more important to get a good sleep, actually.
Yeah.
Still sleep. I do have a few very dedicated, aesthetically dedicated patients who just sleep on their backs, and I'm like, okay, I cannot do that. It's hard. First of all, you can't control yourself when you're sleeping. I don't even understand how you can, but I have a few people who like, no, my face is so important to me. I just sleep on my back. I'm like, all right, I can't do that. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So after the thread lift, yes, I've done thread lifts for myself, like somebody did it for me, and it's just very, you can't sleep on your face because it hurts. So it's like for just maybe a day or two. So that's a complication of thread lift. With thread lift, the same. So we insert the thread from like one or two or three openings. So openings have to be clean. I instruct people not to take a shower the same day. We apply some antibiotic ointment. Some people give antibiotics oral mm-hmm. antibiotic prophylactically. I usually don't do that. I hate to give people antibiotics just to prophylax infection. I think we can prophylax it just adhering to the clean technique when we do it, and after, to make sure you, of course, that you cannot go to the pool, you cannot go swimming. You have to, like, sometimes we cover it up with like little Band-Aid and antibiotic ointment. You have to make sure it healed well, because infection can be complication like anything else after the injection. Mm-hmm. But with threads, it can be devastating, because when the thread is infected, inside, you need to remove the thread.
Right.
Quickly, kind of pull it out. And it's, I wouldn't wish it for anybody. It's a difficult process. So that's why we really, really instruct to be very careful after thread lift procedure to make sure all your sides are very clean. It's pretty much heals within like 24 hours, 100%. It's healed because it's very small. We just use needle to insert the thread. Yeah. But you have to be extra careful in terms of infection after the thread lift. After the thread lift, you also, when we pull the skin, it can create a little bit of like unevenness.
Mm-hmm.
The surface, usually it all goes away. Usually it all goes away, but that's all why we also advise never ever do any procedures like 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks before any important social event.
Right.
So that's in terms of thread lift. But thread lift is, if it's done for the right person. So I always say, for each procedure, you have a perfect patient. So certain things, like it has to be done maybe from 35 to like 50 years old, when you have younger skin, thicker skin, to lift. It's a lot of cues. So that's why you come for consultation and we'll assess if you are the right person for the procedure. Very often I just say, you need a facelift. I don't think this procedure suits you. Your skin is not thick enough. You have a thin skin and you have too much extra skin, let's say, to lift.
Yeah.
You pass the time when you were suitable for thread lift. So that's another thing, is really choosing the right patient for the procedure. If you chose the patient and it's like, let's say with a thin skin, you have gonna have thread see through, which is another complication. Thread see through, and that's a complication. But that's because the patient wasn't chosen rightfully for the procedure.
Right.
Yeah. So, and again, of course, you can bruise, you can swell up with thread lift, but it's bruising and swelling. It's all very like expected and temporary things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will go away. So that's probably most of it.
Yeah. You know, it seems like a lot of this stuff, you know, if it's, you know, a lot of the complications are minor, and they will kind of pan out over, you know, a short period of time. You know, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to summarize everything we talked about, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize on today's podcast?
Well, cosmetic medicine, I think, developed a lot, and we can change and improve your appearance and your perception of yourself as well. And this way, improve your happiness. Mm-hmm. Of course, any procedures have side effects, but they're all manageable. They all depend on how you adhere to instruction, pre-procedure and post-procedure instructions. So make sure you follow them. And we can take a great care of you with very minimal complications.
I love it.
Message.
I think today's podcast was great. You know, you went over all the different types of procedures that you do in your office, and you went over the complications. So a lot of times people don't like to talk about the complications. They're afraid, you know, to share about what could happen. And, you know, so you took the time out to explain all the little different things that could happen, you know, during these procedures. and how easy it can be to fix those complications as well. And one of the things you pointed out that was very important is that you really have to make sure that you have a good doctor that is installing the needles and doing the injections the proper way, because it could be, you know, it can make a big difference, I think, on the type of needles they're using, the quality needles, the quality, you know, different types of Botoxes and different types of injections that they're putting in, and having a doctor that really knows what they're doing and what to do in case a complication does arise. So, you know, it's really important that people really do their research and find and make sure they find a doctor like yourself who knows what they're doing.
Thank you. I totally agree.
Well, I think today's message was great. I thank you so much, Olga, for coming on the show and sharing all this information. And, you know, can you tell everybody about your services and where they can find you?
Sure. We practice aesthetic medicine. It's all non-surgical procedures existing pretty much. I practice in Brooklyn and Long Island, Hewlett. Our phone number is 718-614-9511. Oh yes, and we do weight loss program, medical weight loss program, coaching, lifestyle coaching. We do also IV. It's our kind of newer service. It's IV NAD, IV vitamins, which is supplemental to a lot of procedures. Let's say if we want to stimulate collagen, if we want to improve your hair, we inject PRP or exosomes to improve the hair. So it's supplemental vitamins for the optimal hair growth. So that's most of our procedures.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Dr. Olga. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all this valuable information. I look forward to our next podcast together, and I really look forward to the topic that you'll be sharing with us on our next podcast. Thank you so much for coming and taking this time out to share all this information.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun. Love to be on your podcast. Love our conversations. Until next time. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.